That new code imposed upon France a uniform system of justice. It called for equality before the law. This was a major, major step to be implemented. One thing that equality before the law meant under the Napoleonic regime is that no one would be tax exempt. All French citizens now were going to bear the financial burdens of state. Freedom of religion was guaranteed under the new constitution. Protestants would be able to practice their religion. And Napoleon took steps to emancipate the Jews. This had been done initially during the revolution itself in the first constitution. Napoleon would take additional steps in this direction. He also, the new constitution also called for freedom of profession. This doesn't sound very exciting in some ways, certainly not revolutionary, but it was. It dealt a final death blow to the old guilds, and it was a bow toward the new forces of commercial capitalism and industrialization in France. What it did was to signal to liberal elements, liberal economic elements, that this was going to be a regime that would adopt policies that were favorable to business, favorable to trade, to commerce, to break whatever residual powers lingered of the old guild system in France. Also, I think what's also very, very significant about this is that Napoleon bothered at all even to have a constitution. For Napoleon, it was quite clear the genie could not be put back in the bottle. The revolution had happened. It was a positive thing. It had gotten out of hand, but it was still, Napoleon believed, a positive thing. And France needed a constitution. You could not have a legitimate government, in Napoleon's view, under these circumstances, post-revolution, without a constitution. His regime, in other words, was built on a claim to popular sovereignty, embedded in the Constitution, embedded in the elections, embedded in the plebiscites, all of which gave to this Napoleonic regime a very radical, progressive tint. If one, looking at it from a Habsburg perspective or a Hohenzollern perspective or from across the Channel in Great Britain, this seemed to be, indeed, for all of its military might, and the dictatorial nature of the regime, which we'll also come to, this seemed to be indeed a very dangerous heir to the French Revolution. Napoleon also would continue a policy that had really been emphasized during the revolution. We haven't had a chance to talk about it in talking about events during the revolution, but it was an emphasis on education. Napoleon would create the system of lycées under close government supervision, and this emphasis on educating people so they could read, so they could participate, so they could be citizens. This was a very revolutionary idea. Napoleon would systematize that. This was also part of one of the other great social claims of the Napoleonic regime. This was to be a regime in which careers were open to talent. It wasn't heredity. It wasn't connections. It was none of that. What really mattered was the man of talent, the man of ability, willing to take chances and to achieve. The regime also instituted a reform of the French administration. A rational, centralized administration was created under Napoleon. He created a very, very efficient system of taxation, not very, a very exciting sort of reform, but obviously considering the history of France in the 18th century was absolutely essential. He returned France to a system of centralized administration where local officials were appointed from Paris. In fact, under Napoleon, one sees the most centralized of all of the various French regimes of the 18th and into the 19th century. In addition to these initiatives, though, possibly one of the most important, if not the most important, in terms of sealing Napoleon's popularity at home, was his establishment of peace with the church. After a decade in which relations between the French, the various French revolutionary governments and the church were strained, to put it mildly, the civil constitution of the clergy, you will recall, Napoleon was determined to restore good relations with the papacy, to bring the church back into the mainstream of French political life, to end the schism between secular government and the church.